on the top of Daf Samach Gimel. The Gemara had told us on Daf Samach Beis that a Talmud is not allowed to offer a ruling, an answer to a halachic question, in the presence of his Rav or even in the vicinity of his Rav, with the exception of the case of a sakin shel shechita, that if the Talmud needs to use that sakin for his own personal shechita, he's allowed a paskin for himself. Rav Hemnuna Ori bi Charta. Rav Hemnuni gave an answer to a question. He was a Talmud of Rav in the city of Charta. The Argis, which was a city that we identify as the city of Arga, of Arges, Bishnei Rav Chizda, and this was during the time period of Rav Chizda's life, and Rav Chizda and Rav were both what we call Talmud Chaver. They were on a similar level. Now the Gemara tells us another story. Ravina Sar Sakina Bibavel. Ravina would check the knife of Shechita to see if it was completely smooth in one city in Bavel, and the Shochet in that city would bring the knife to Ravina, so the Ravina would check the knife, and as a chacham, he would be, so to speak, metaken. He would be metaken the sakin through this bedika. He would make it usable and suitable for shechita. And to take the knife to a chacham is a kavod chacham. So in a certain sense, you could say that Ravina had taken upon himself like the crown and the kavod of his city. And the Gemara says that this is similar to Hora b'fnei Rabba, because Rav Ashi was his Rebbe. Amalei Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says to my time of Mar Hochi, why do you do such a thing? You're being Mora Hora b'fnei Rabba. Amalei Ravina said in defense to Rav Ashi, V'Rav Hemnuna Ori b'karta the Argiz b'shneid Rav Chizda. After all, the precedent upon which I am standing is that Rav Hemnuna had paskin in that city of Charta even during the years of his Rebbe Rav Chizda. And the reason why he did so is because Rav Chizda was not living in the city. And therefore, I didn't go into your city, Rav Ashi, which is called Mata Machasya, but rather in a different city in Bavel. So Rav Ashi says to Ravina, Lo Ore Itmar, that which it says about Rav Hemnuna, it wasn't that he was Mora Hora. That's not true. Masha Nevar Hu Shelo Hora Sham Vishelo Kidvarecha. But Omale Ravina responds to Rav Ashi, Itmar Ori. We do have a tradition that records that Rav Hemnuna did in fact rule during the period of Rav Chizda's lifetime, but V'yitmar lo ori. But you tell me that no, that Rav Hemnuna refrained from ruling. Bishnei Rav Huna Rabbe, and
first, excuse me, tell me exactly where you are.
Yeah, we are on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph.
Samach Gimel?
Samach Gimel.
Okay.
And we're up to Amale Itmar Ore V Itmar Lo Ore, which is approximately 6 lines down from the top.
Very good, thank you.
And we're up to Bishnei Rav Huna Rabbe. And Rav Hemnuna had another Rebbe in addition to Rav Chizda. He also learned by Rav Huna, Hu delo ori. In other words, in this particular transmission that Rav Hamnuna refrained from ruling because Rav Huna, his Rebbe, was alive, even though he was in a different place. The Ori, and if you have a tradition to the effect that Rav Hamnuna did actually rule in Halacha during the lifetime of his Rebbe, that's B'shnei Rav Chizda, the Talmud Chavra Dilei Hava, because Rav Hamnuna, although technically he was a student of Rav Chizda, but nevertheless, he had the status of a Talmud Chaver, which means that they were colleagues to some extent. And a Talmud Chacham, as long as he's in a different place, a different location than his Rebbe, he's permitted to rule in halachic matters. Vanon Nami, and now we swing back to Ravina. Ravina says to Ravashi, Talmud Chofer Demar, I know. He speaks to Ravashi in third person, and he says, I'm also a Talmud Chaver, and therefore I'm permitted to rule in a different city where you're not located. So that's the difference between a regular classic Talmud and a Talmud Chaver. Talmud Chaver, although he had studied under his Rebbe, and his Rebbe certainly taught him a lot, but he became a colleague of his Rebbe. He reached that level in which they would have discussions, and the Talmud Chaver would perhaps shed a new light on the sugi. Once he reaches that level, then although in front of him in the same city, he's not allowed to paskin, but he can rule if he's in a different city. Omar Rava, Tzurvana, Tzurva Mirabanan, Chazi Linafshe. A Talmud Chacham, as we said earlier, is allowed to paskin for himself on a sakin shel shechita. He could check the knife in order to make sure that he has a knife that's kosher for shechita, and he shecht his own animal. He doesn't have to go to his Rebbe and get a psak from his Rebbe. And now the Gemara quotes a few stories in this light. Ravina ikla lemechoza. He reached the city of Rava, and he was staying at a certain inn. Aisish pezichte sakina v'kamachvele. And the owner of the inn, the innkeeper, brought him a knife to check for shechita, and Ravina checked it for shechita. Amale, Ravina says to the Balach Sanya, he says, zil amte l'Rava. So that when the Balach Sanya brought the knife to Ravina, Ravina says, show it to Rava. Because Rava here in this Mechuza is the Rav. Amale, so the innkeeper says to Ravina, Lo sovar mar hodi amar Rava shetzur mi rabon el chazi linafshe. When you want to check the knife and decide about it, you're allowed to do that even if the Rebbe is available. You could theoretically ask the Rebbe. Omer Leib, Ravina said, Ano mizvin zvine. This meat is not mine. I'm buying it now from you, but it's not roesh chito liatzmo, roesh sakin liatzmo. Because right now, it's your animal, and I'm shechting it on your behalf. And at this particular moment in time, it's not my animal yet. I don't own it, and I don't possess it. Therefore, I'm not allowed to paskin on the sake. Rabbi Elezer bar Gronya, v'Rav Acha bar Tachlifa iklu lebe Rav Acha brei d'Rav Ika, b'asrei d'Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So we have to know that this story takes place in the city of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Boy, Rav Acha brei d'Rav Ika lemeved lehu. Igla Tilsa. He wanted to prepare a very fancy, delicious meal for them with what's called an Egel Mishulash. And this is the third calf to be born in a series of calves to the same mother cow, and that's supposed to be a very special meat. And He wanted to shecht it and eat from the meat and serve it to the other chachamim. I see sakinim come machvile. Rav Acha, Breid Rav Ika, brought him a knife, and he asked them to check the knife so that they could check the Eigla Tilsa. Amlu Rav Acha bar Tachlifa, he turns to Rav Elazar Agronya, and he says to him, and to Rav Acha, and he says to them, Lo lechush le lisava? What about the honor of the Sava? Sava means the Zaken, the elder, which is Rav Acha bar Yaakov. After all, we're in the town of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Are we allowed to check the knife in his city? He should be given the honor, and we should bring the knife to him. Amalahu, Rabbi Elazar Me'agronya, he turns to Rav Acha and to the other Rav Acha, Rav Acha bar Tachlif and Rav Acha Breid Rav Ika, and he says, Hachi Amar Rava, Tzumi Rabbanon, Chazi Linafshe, that a Talmud Chacham who knows how to paskin on a knife is allowed to do so for himself. And here also we're shechting for ourselves. We don't have to bring the knife to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Chazi V'yanish. So Rav Elazar went ahead and he checked the knife, and yet he was punished. And it seems that he should have been more careful about the covet of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. And now the Gemara wants to understand why. Why would Rav Elazar be punished for not having shown the knife to Rav Acha bar Yaakov? V'amar Rava Tzumi Rabbanu Chosi L'Nafshe, he's allowed to check in his own shechita for his own personal animal that he has to shech. Shiny Hassam, the case over there was different. Why the Aschilu L'Chvodo? Because once Rav Acha mentioned that we have to be choshesh for the covet of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, at that point already they started the process of honoring him, and therefore would be undermining his kavod if they didn't bring him the sakin for bedika. Meaning, in this first answer, the Gemara is saying that once they had suggested the possibility, thinking that this is what they should rightfully do and bring the sakin to Rav Acha, the Rav, then at that point the halacha changes. They have already started the process of being mechabed him. They have to go through, follow through. Ibai Eben the Gemara gives another answer. Why was Rav Elazar punished? Shiny Rav Acha bar Yaakov de Muflog. With regard to a regular rank and file chacham, you know, he's a scholar and he's a rabbi. We have to have a certain amount of covet, but still, you can paskin for yourself on your own personal shechita. But in the case of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he was a muflag. He was a great chacham. He was outstanding. And the obligation to be mechabed him goes way beyond that of a regular rank and file chacham. And therefore, in this case, even though they were shechting for themselves, Rav's principle that they could paskin on and be bodek the knife without taking the Rav does not apply, because we're talking about none other than Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Now the Gemara goes on with another exception to the rule, another case, a scenario in which a Talmud is allowed to paskin on my Rav alafrushe misura filu b'fon of shapir dami, if someone is about to violate a prohibition, and the Talmud in this case notices it, he's got to immediately stop that person, tell him that what he's doing is wrong. He cannot be quiet and silent. He must make a protest about it. And he can do so even in the presence of his Rebbe. And the Gemara is going to explain why. First, the Gemara tells another story. Ravina Avi Yosef Kameder of Ashi. And as we said before, Ravina was a Talmud of Rav Ashi. And he was sitting in the presence of his Rebbe, Chazi Elahu Gavri, he saw a person to call Osar Lechamre Bitzinta B'Shabbos. On Shabbos, this person was tying down his donkey to a tree, to a date tree in this case, a palm tree. Rami Beikola. So Ravina starts yelling at him, and he says, you know, Chachom say, you're not allowed to get any benefit from a tree on Shabbos. We're always afraid maybe you'll pluck a fruit from the tree. And now you're tying down your animal to this dekel that you're not allowed to do. V'lo ashkich bei. And the individual did not pay any attention. He continued to do what he wanted to do. Amalei, so Ravina said to this person, Lehevi haigavra b'shamta. Because you were mezalzel in the covenant of a Talmud Chacham, and you deliberately went ahead against what he said to you, therefore you should be benidui. And this is the last chapter of the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, when he talks about Kvod Chachamim. In the previous chapter, he goes on to dedicate a chapter to Nidui. And who has to be put in Nidui? First and foremost, someone who's mezalzel in a Talmud Chacham. Amalei, now Ravina turns to Ravashi, and he says, Ki haigavna, in that particular case, mi mischaza bafkrusa, does it look like a chutzpah on my part? Maybe I shouldn't have done so. Amalei, no. Ravashi says to Ravina, you did the right thing. Based on the Poskim Mishlei, ein chachma vein tvuna vein etza k'neged Hashem, l'neged Hashem. There's no chashivus, there's no significance at all to wisdom, to the status of a scholar, or a wise person. All that is completely null and void, l'neged Hashem, neged Hashem, in front of Hashem. And what do we derive from this pasuk? Kol malchus sheyesh bo chilul Hashem, ein chalkin kavod l'rav. If there's a chil Hashem involved, then we don't worry and concern ourselves with which rav is going to get covered. Forget about kavod l'rav. You immediately have to respond in order to prevent the chil Hashem. Amar Rava, befanav asur, when we say that a Talmud is not allowed to be mora hora during the lifetime of his Rebbe, it's asur, and if he goes and he does so, v'chayev misa. That's if he does it befanav. Now again, misa here doesn't mean we're going to put him to death in a court of law. We're not going to condemn him as a capital crime, but it means he's chayev misa lashamayim. But shalom befanav, if his Rebbe is not right there at that moment, then although it's true that he's not allowed to paskin ahora, but eino chayev misa. He's not chayev misa for such a thing. The Gemara asks, v'shalo befonov lo? He's not chayev misa if the Rebbe was not exactly present. Well, v'atanya we have a brisa, and this brisa is going to record a statement of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Lo mesu, Nadav aviv b'nei Aaron died when they brought an Eish Zorah on the Mizbech, at Shahoru Alocha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. Because they paskin the Alocha, and Moshe Rabbeinu, their Rebbe, was available. And their psak was that this Eish is not the appropriate Eish, we have to substitute a different Eish for this one. My Drush, how do you know that this is what the Bnei Aaron and Nadav Aviv were guilty of, and then they were put to death, min ha-shamayim? Because it says in the Pasuk, V'nasnu Bnei Aaron ha-kohen eish al ha-mizbeach, that the children of Aaron placed the eish on the mizbeach. Omru, Nadav Aviv declared, afal pisha eish yoreis min ha-shamayim, even though there is a fire that comes down miraculously from the heavens, mitzvah lovi min ha-hejot. Nevertheless, the greater mitzvah is not to wait for this miraculous eish from Shamayim, which means you're passive, but rather to actively get involved in lighting the fire on the Mizbech. They were actually right, but they were punished severely for that because they shouldn't have been moral raw and Moshe Rabbeinu is available. And the question is, Kevon shenemar b'posuk sheyesh lavi eish min ahejot v'shomu zos mimoshe harei shenogul kigit didin. Actually, they had heard this halacha from Moshe, so the Farshim don't understand why this is called hora shalom b'fnei rabba, when they heard this halacha and they got this ruling from their Rebbe. So Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says, even though they received this halacha to bring min ahejot, But nevertheless, that only applies on other days of the year, but not on the Yom HaShmini L'Miluim. This was the eighth day of the Miluim at the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan. It has special dinim, and one of those is that they should actually ask this question to Moshe Rabbeinu, or they should meant to bring Eish Min HaHedjot. Furthermore, the Gemara answers, V'talmid Echad Hayolol Rabbi Eliezer Shahor HaLocha B'fanav. There was a case of a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer, and he issued a ruling on a question in Halacha B'fanav. Again, the Gemara doesn't mean B'fanav Mamish, because the Gemara is trying to prove that even if it's not B'fanav, like Nodav Aviv, it wasn't in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Here also, it wasn't in front of Rabbi Eliezer, but even so, Yechayv Misa Shalom B'fanav. This is a kasha on Rava, who said that Shalom B'fanav Eino Chayv Misa. On Rabbi Eliezer Le'imei Shalom Ishto, Rabbi Eliezer said to this particular individual's wife, and he mentions her by name, T'mi ani am yotzi ze shnoso. I'd be amazed if he lives through the year. Lo hotzi shnoso. And this Talmud died during that year. Amra lo, so Ima Shalom looks at Rabbi Eliezer, she says to him, Noviata, are you a prophet that you knew that he would die so quickly? Amra lelo novi anochi, lo ben novi anochi. I'm neither a novi, the son of a novi, ela kach mekublani. This is what I received from my Rebbeim in a transmission of Torah, kol amora lochefnei rabo, chayav misa. And since this Talmud was Mora HaRab, if Nei Rabo, I knew that he would die. And this is the end of the Braisa that the Gemara quoted. The Omar Rabba Barbrachon of Rabbi Yochanan, also Talmud. Who is this Talmud? Who is Mora HaRab, if Nei Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer's Rebbe, and he died? Yehuda Ben Guria Shmo. The first one to know, why did the Gemara find it so necessary to identify him and his wife? We'll get even more details. And the Mepharshim say, because this was not an imaginary story, this was not just a mashal, this was an actual event that took place, historical, and that's why the Gemara goes out of its way to mention all the details. V'yarachok mimenu sholosh parsos. And this Yehuda ben Guria, when he issued his ruling, he was at a distance from his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer of Sholosh Parsos. So you see that even a Talmud, who is Mora Allah Shalom Bifnei Rab, was Chayav Misa, and that's why Yehuda Ben Guria, who is Mora Allah at a Richuk of Sholosh Parsos from Rabbi Eliezer, nevertheless he died. So this is against Rava, who said that it's only Asur, but it's not a Chayav Misa. And he answers, Befun of Hava, that Talmud was actually Befanav. In other words, that's that which Rabbi Yochanan had told us, that there was a distance of three parsos and more. That's not exactly what happened. Bimkomo yerachok bimkomo shel Rabbi Eliezer Bashir said. In other words, rachok mimenu shelosh parsos means that the distance between Rabbi Eliezer and this Yehuda Ben Guria was three parsos in terms of where they lived. But the actual Hora, which Yehuda Ben Guria ruled, was in the presence of Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara immediately objects, V'harachok mimenu sholosh parsos ka'amar. Rabbi Yochanan said about that Talmud Yehuda ben Guria that he was more than three parsos away from Rabbi Eliezer. If he was only telling us, you know, where he lived, not where he gave the actual ruling, then this seems to be irrelevant. Ulitaimech, and according to you, that Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that he was Chayav Misa, even if it was Shalom B'fanov, Ishmo V'Shem Aviv Lama, why did they mention the name of this Yehuda plus the name of his father? Ela Shalotomar Moshal Hoya, that they added all these details so that you know that this is not just a made up story as a metaphor, this is an actual story that took place. So in order to identify this Yehuda ben Gurion, not only by his name and his father's name, they also told us that Yehuda ben Gurion lived at a distance from Rabbi Eliezer of Sholosh Parsos, but the actual Horah was issued in the presence of his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Omar Abchibar Abba, Omar Ab Yochanan, Kalamora Halacha Bifnei Rabba, Roy Lakisho Nachash. So for this violation, he deserves to be bitten by a snake. Shenemar, notice the snake is a shliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring about his death. Shenemar, it says in Iyo, Vayan Elihu ben Brachel, Habuzi, Vayomar, Tsoyer Ani Liyomim, Alkein Zachalti, Vaira Mechavos Dei Eschem. So we're going to put the emphasis on the word zachalti. And he says he was afraid. Uksiv, and a pasuk says in Dvarim, im chamas zochalei ofar. So the serpent is described as zochalei ofar, that they, you know, travel through the dust. And why does the pasuk in Iyov Elihu use the word zochalim, or the exact word that he used was zachalti? He chooses that word because he was afraid to express his opinion in front of those who are greater than him, and this becomes an allusion to the fact that he was afraid that the zochalim, the nechashim, would come and bite him if he would express his opinion in the presence of Gedolim, of those who are greater than him. Now let me just take a minute here, if you don't mind, just to get the... He says... I am young in days, therefore I was afraid to offer my opinion. And when he says he was afraid, he used the word zachalti, and that's an allusion to the pasuk in Dvarim, where it says that God will smite his sinful nation with the venom of those that slither through the dirt. Snakes are referred to by the term zochale, has the same root as zachalti in the pasuk in Iyov. Elihu was hinting that had he spoken up earlier in the presence of his elders, he would have deserved to be bitten by a snake. Ziri Omar Rab Chanina, Ziri says in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Nikra Chote, a person who renders a decision in the presence of his Rebbe, is called a sinner. Shenemar, and here he quotes a pasuk in Tilim, Bilti Tzafanti Imrasecha Leman Loechta Ot. In my heart I have hidden your word, so that I should not sin. And hiding your word means I did not render a decision because I would be considered a sinner. Rav Hamnuna Rami, Rav Hamnuna asks an apparent contradiction. Ksiv, it says here in this pasuk in Tehillim, Bilti Tzafanti Imrasecha, in my heart I have hidden your word. Does that mean that David HaMelech did not render any decisions, uksiv, but he himself describes himself as Bisarti Tzedek V'kal Rav, I proclaim judgment in a large assembly, implying that David HaMelech was a posek, he did render legal decisions. Lokasha kan bizman she'ira haya'ori kayam, v'kan bizman she'en ira haya'ori kayam. David HaMelech had studied Torah under Ira Hayaori, and when the pasuk says that he did not render decisions, that's when his Rebbe was alive. But after his Rebbe died, then he would render decisions. That's the second pasuk. Om Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Kalanosein Matnosov Lekoin Echad. If he focuses all his attention and gives all his gifts to one particular Kohen, then mevi ra'av li'olam, he brings famine to the world. Shenemar, And David HaMelech apparently was guilty of this sin. Iraya Ariya Kohen LeDavid. He was the Kohen for David. So what does that mean? LeDavid Havi Hudavi Kohen LeKuyam Lo. What does it mean? He wasn't a Kohen for other people. El Shahayim Mishagelo Matnosav David would consistently send his gifts for Ira. Uksiv Basreva Ira of the May David. So the punishment of famine was a result of the fact that David HaMelech gave all his donations exclusively to Ira. Now, getting back to the punishment for some Talmud who's Mora HaRab Bifnei Rabo, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Morinan Oso Migdulaso, he will go down from his level of greatness if he, as a disciple, renders a legal decision. Shenemar Vayomer Elazar HaKohen El Anshe Atzova. And this a pasuk in Bamidbar that refers to the Melchemes Midjan. And Elazar HaKohen said to the men of the army, and the Torah describes the various laws that Elazar taught the soldiers. This is the Klei Midjan about Hagolah and Libun, Kasher and Kalim. But Moshe Rabbeinu was available to teach these laws. Is Afal Gavdi Omalu, even though Elazar was not taking all the credit for it, he was humble. And he said, Li Achi Abba, for my uncle, Tziva, I got the mitzvah, the Osi Lo Tziva. In other words, even though my uncle transmitted these laws and he gave them to Aaron and so forth, I didn't receive them. But nevertheless, even though he gave that cover to Moshe, Afilu hochi i'anish, nevertheless he was punished. Tichsiv l'fnei Elazar HaKohen yamot. Now Yeshua never asked Elazar any questions. Elazar was in charge of the Urim v'Tumim. And the pasuk says, Yeshua shall stand in front of Elazar HaKohen. And v'lo ashkan d'itzruch le'Yoshua. Even though the pasuk describes that Yeshua would ask or would be required, if a question came up, to confer with Elazar. Nevertheless, he never actually did so. And this was a punishment for Elazar. Amar Rav Levi, Kol Demosiv Mila Kamei Derebi, anyone who answers a word in the front of his Rebbe, in other words, he issues a decision, a ruling, Ozil Lishaol. He'll go down to the place below Vlad, without children. And the Gemara is going to prove this from none other of a great personage than Yeshua himself, that Yeshua was guilty of issuing a ruling in the presence of his Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu. As a result, Yeshua died childless. Shenemar, Vayan Yoshua bin Nun Mishoris Moshe Bibchurov. Vayomer Adoni Moshe Klaim. So this was at the time that Eldad Umeida were prophesizing in the Machne, and Yoshua said that Moshe Rabbeinu should see to it that they die. Now the prophecy of Eldad Umeida was about Moshe Rabbeinu himself, that he would die in the Midbar. And Yoshua, in a sense, demanded that Moshe Rabbeinu not stand by silently, but rather take action against them. And that was in that case, Yoshua had overstepped his bounds. And it's as if he had rendered a legal decision, Bifnei Rab. And now we turn to the Daf Samach Gimel, Amud Beis Uksiv, Nun Bino Yoshua Bino. The pasuk in Divrei Yomim tells us that Nun was his son and Yoshua was his son. And this is a reference to Nun's father, Elishama, who's mentioned in the previous pasuk. And there's nothing after Yoshua in this lineage. And this implies that Yoshua actually died without any sons. Now, the Gemara has another sheet as to why Yoshua was punished. Upligi de Rabbi Abba bar Papa. Rab Levi, who says that it was the incident with Eldad Umeidad where Yoshua is guilty, he disagrees with Rab Abba bar Papa, the Omer Rab Abba bar Papa, lo nenesh Yoshua ela b'shvil shebitel es Yisrael laila achas mipiri v'rivya. So this is during the time of the battle of Yericho. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Vayehi b'yos Yoshua b'Yericho v'yisai no v'yar. So Yoshua on the night before the battle of Yericho, he lifts up his eyes and he sees someone standing opposite him. This was a malach who was holding a sword. Uksiv Vayomer lo ki ani sar tzva Hashem atot basi. And the malach responded that I am, because Yeshua wanted to know, who are you? Are you one of our enemies, you know, from the Knanim? He says, no, I'm a malach Hashem, sar tzva Hashem. And ata basi, the emphasis here is on the word ata, now. Omer lo, what was he saying to Yoshua when he said ata basi? Now I was called upon to come. In other words, I came to punish you for a certain sin. That's why I'm drawing the sword. And it's a sin that you are guilty of right now. Omer lo, the malach said to Yoshua, emesh bitaltem tamid shel bein arbayim. Because you are involved in the study of in the war, in the battle, you failed to bring the Talmud. And Asha Bitaltim Talmud Torah. Now at night, you're being Mavatil Talmud Torah. Al Ezim and Basi. Yoshua asks the Malach, and which of these two sins are you coming for now? Knows which is the more severe of the two sins? Omelo Ata Basi. In other words, the sin that you are right now violating, and that is Bittul Talmud Torah. Miyad immediately vayelch Yoshua balayla hu besoch vayolen Yoshua balayla hu besoch ha'emek. Which literally means that Yoshua that night went into the valley. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, what is this valley? Malavi shalach bi omka shalach, the depths of the study of halach. So as a result of the admonishment of the Malach, Yoshua took this very seriously and immediately started delving into the profundities of Torah. So Rabbi Abba quotes this entire incident and he goes on and says the Jews continue their state of siege around Yericho through the night, and the Aron HaBris had originally been taken into battle, but it remained with the army, and it was not returned to its normal place in Gilgal. Ugmiri, we have a tradition that calls man sha'aron u'shchina shruyim below mekobim komon, asurim b'tashmi shamita. So Yoshua made a mistake, and he left the aron behind, and we have a tradition that if the aron is left behind, and it's not resting in its normal place, then the Jews are prohibited from having marital relations. So again, Yoshua was first guilty of neglecting to bring the Talmud and the Bittul Torah. Rabbi Abba held that Mida Keneged Mida means that the punishment has to correspond with the misdeed. Someone who does not have any sons has not fulfilled the mitzvah period of Arivia, which requires at the very least, one son and one daughter, the punishment would only fit the crime if the crime was that he caused Jews from abstaining from marital relations. It had nothing to do with the other problems of Bittul Karban Tamid or Bittul Torah, whereas Rabbi Levi held the previous opinion that Yoshua was punished for lack of kavod for Rav, for Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said the kla'im. So he would say that Yoshua's punishment, which means he died without leaving a son, That means that that son could have been the disciple who would have replaced Yehoshua after his death. And because as a disciple, he, to some extent, was careless a little bit in the covet of his Rebbe, so too he would not have a disciple. Amar Rab Shmuel bar Inina bar Inya Mishmei Derav Gadol Talmud Torah Yosem Akrovas Tmidin Diomalei Atah Basi. So of the two violations here, the absence of the Korban Tamid and the Bittul Torah was a more severe violation. And that's why the angel came for this last, right, Atah Basi, meaning for the neglect of Torah study. Amar Rab Bruno Amar Rav Kala Yoshein Bekil'ah She'ish ve'ishto shruyim ba. If a person sleeps in the same room where a man and his wife are staying, all of us of Omer, and the pasuk describes him in Micha as Neshei Ami Tigrashun mi beis tanugeha. The wise of my nation you have chased from the house of their enjoyment. In other words, again, it's the idea that you inhibit the mitzvah of Piri V'Rivia. That's not, the Torah wants to do everything possible to encourage Piri V'Rivia. V'yomer Av Yosef, afilu b'ishto nida. It's not just Piri V'Rivia, it means the privacy of a husband and wife. You should not be there. And this, by the way, is very relevant on trips and so forth when you want to save money sometimes and take one hotel room instead of two hotel rooms, if you understand what I mean. Rava Amar Ishto Nidahi Tavol of Bracha. Rava disagrees, and he says if the presence of another man is going to inhibit that intimacy, that's a good thing in the case where she's a Nid. The Gemara says, Velohi. In other words, we don't accept Rava's opinion. Da'ada Idna Man Natre. I mean, what are you saying, that you have to appoint a chaperone? A man and a woman are allowed to be alone. We're not afraid that because their intimacy is going to violate the Isur Nida. It's Suga Keshoshanim, the Gemara says. Okay, now we get back to Erev Chatzeros, which is the subject of our perek here. So we said that if you have a guy who lives in the chatzer or the mavui, we have to get him to be socher. He has to rent out his rights to one of the Jewish residents, which is very hard to achieve. Hahu mevoah in a certain mavui, the havi dayer be Lachman bar Ristak. So there was a guy, an idol worshipper, by the name of Lachman. And as a result of the fact that he lived in that mavui, he restricted the Jews, they wouldn't be able to carry into the mavui. Amru Leh, they approached him, and they said, Ogir Lach, Lon Rishusach. And they asked him to rent out his rights to the mavui. Lo Ogir Leh, he refused. Later on, we're going to have a sugya whether or not they could have gone to his wife and got permission from her to rent out. Also, Amru Leh Labaya, they came and they told Abaya what the situation was. Amru Lehu, you know what? You have a way out of this situation. Zilu batilu rishusaychu legabechad. And this is called bitul rishus. Now, they could all get together, all the Jews who lived in that mavui, and they could be mevatel their individual respective rishuyos for one person. So at least one person, one Jew, will be left with rights into the mavui. Havale yochid b'makom nachri. This is a psak that reflects the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And if there's only one Jewish resident who's living together in that mavui with one guy, then according to the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, in our Mishnah back on Daf Samach Alpha and Beis, in such a case, the presence of the guy does not generate an Iser on that Yisrael. So the Bittul will be effective, that they'll be able to carry from a Chotzer into a Mavui, and they can be metaltal in the Mavui itself. That's what Abai recommended. Havale, yeah, fine. Amru le Abai, they said to Abai, Midi hu taima. The logic that underlies Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that one Jew the guy doesn't generate an Issa, that doesn't apply in this case. Because Ela Mishum Dlo Shrichi the diary, it's very unusual for a Jew to take up residence with a guy in the same chutz, in the same mavui, because, as the Gemara said earlier, we're afraid that maybe the guy would do him under if he's alone with the guy. But Haka Dire, we're talking about a case here where there are many other Jewish families that live in that neighborhood. So it's no longer what we call a milsad lo shchicha. It's not an unusual circumstance. And therefore we should institute the gzera that always applies, that if a guy has residence in the chatzer, he generates an iser on the Yisrael. Amalahu, Sabai responded to this question. He said, Kol bituli rishusayu gabi chad milsad lo shchichi. This is also a case of an unusual set of circumstances. Not because there's only one Jew living in a chatzah with one guy, but rather because all the Jewish people living in that neighborhood all gave up their rights to one Jew. That's also something that's unusual, to have a bittul rishus to one Jew. And therefore comes under a milsad lo shchicha, and therefore there's no gzeirah d'rabbanan. So again, if you have different residents, Yisraelim, that live together with a Nachri, that's already a Dover Matzui. But a Bittul Rishus Eitzel Yachid, that's something that is unusual.